19, Acts 19, beginning at verse 1. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for what we've already received in your presence today. We have been blessed. We could leave, and already we could say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. But now, Lord, we come to the Word of God, the preaching of the Word. We ask you, Lord, for a special anointing upon us as we bring forth the Word, and upon the ears of the hearers and the hearts of the listeners. God, let this Word find a place deep in our hearts, Lord, and let it not just be a challenging Word, but let it be a changing Word and a transforming Word. And we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if I had a title today, I would simply title this message, Who Needs the Holy Ghost Anyway? Who needs the Holy Ghost anyway? Amen. And I could answer that in short answer and say, if you're breathing, you need the Holy Ghost. If you've got blood pumping through your body, you need the Holy Ghost. If you plan to live on planet Earth and deal with the devil and all of his attacks and warfare, you need the Holy Ghost. Jesus needed the Holy Ghost. The disciples, the apostles needed the Holy Ghost. And you and I need the Holy Ghost. Now in verse 1, the Bible tells us that Paul is talking to disciples. They're followers, they're learners, they're students of Jesus' teaching. They are believers. And Paul is knowing the mind of the Lord. He knows the mind of God for these new disciples and for these believers on Jesus Christ. And he knows that God has more in store for them than simple faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. He knows there's something very necessary beyond repentance and beyond believing. They were believers. He did not question them on that. He didn't ask them if they were believers. He asked them, were they receivers? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Paul knows experientially there's something beyond salvation that is necessary in their life. So he asked them what is the most important question that could be asked them. He said, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? He covers a lot of territory in that question. He establishes the fact they are followers of Jesus Christ. They're believers. They're disciples. He establishes the fact that there's an operation of the Holy Spirit beyond salvation, and that manifestation operation is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He establishes the fact that they are candidates to receive this baptism and that they need this baptism. I love Paul. He does not waste any time beating around the bush. He goes right to the point. He says, you're saved, and that's great, but that's not all there is to it. There's more. You need the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Woo! Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you need the Holy Ghost. Oh, Talabahaya. They answered Paul. They said, we haven't even heard whether there be such a thing as the Holy Ghost. They were not taught concerning the Holy Ghost. They were very good Baptists. Come on, brother. He said, what were you baptized unto? They said, unto John's baptism. So they were good Baptists. They'd been baptized under repentance from their sins. Then Paul said, you're good Baptists. You did good to go as far as you've gone, but you've not gone far enough. I'm paraphrasing here, but Paul said somebody didn't tell you the whole story. Yes, John was a good Baptist, but John was a Holy Ghost filled Baptist, and his water baptism under repentance was to get ready and get you ready for the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. He said his baptism was to get you ready for Jesus' baptism. John's baptism was water. Jesus' baptism is fire. Woo! Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you need a little fire. Yeah. John said, I indeed baptize you with water under repentance, but one is coming after me mightier than I. His baptism, he comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Have you received since you believed? Have you been baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire? The Bible declares the promise is unto you, unto your children, unto all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. This promise was manifested in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Have you received since you believed? They poured out of that upper room into the streets, and they were intoxicated. They were drunk in the Spirit. People all around them were amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what is this? What's going on? What meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter says, this is a perfect opportunity for me to preach. And he stands up and starts preaching and prophesying and saying, these men are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It will come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and among your servants and your handmaids, I will pour out of my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show signs and wonders in the heavens above, and in the earth and beneath blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the Bible says that Peter said, this promise is unto you. It's the same promise Joel was talking about. Joel prophesied it, and now we're walking in it. Joel prophesied it. He said it would come to pass in the last days, and now we are in the last days. Hallelujah. And he's fulfilling his promise. Just before Jesus left planet Earth, on a cloud, he spoke the most important words that he could speak. Yes. He commanded his disciples, go to Jerusalem. Right. Don't leave there until you get the promise. Luke 24 and 49, he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Then in Acts 1, 4 and 5, Jesus says, wait for the promise, because John baptized you with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Listen, not many days hence. Then Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Jesus said you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence, or not many days from now. Paul asked these new disciples, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Paul knew there shouldn't be very many days between believing and receiving. Let me say it again. He knew there shouldn't be very many days between believing unto baptism under repentance unto receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire. Jesus said you would be baptized not many days from now. He said when you get baptized with the Holy Ghost, you'll get power. Have you received since you believe? If you have not received, why not? God's word is true. It's a promise. Every blood-bought, water-baptized child of God is also supposed to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Woo! Somebody say, you need some fire.
You need some fire.
To go with that baptism.
Go with that baptism.
John said, I'm just part one, part two is coming. John really was saying, I'm just here to get you ready for what's coming. What's coming is much greater than what I have to offer. You can't get that without this. You must be born again. You must be delivered from your sin. You must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And when you are, you'll be ready for the baptism of the fire of the Holy Ghost. Woo! Glory to God. Shandalalalalayakaya. Somebody lift your hands and say, Lord, send the fire. Come on, say, Lord, send the fire. Woo, hallelujah. Now, won't you, on this side of the church, point your hand over to the other side of the church and say, Lord, send them the fire. And then point your hand at the other side and say, Lord, send them the fire.
Send them the fire.
Woo. Maybe you did receive. Have you received the Holy Ghost that you believe? Maybe you did receive, but you've lost the fire. Then I say to you, my friend, you need a fresh baptism of fire. You need fresh fire of the Holy Ghost. You need power. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to receive. These people didn't even know anything about the Holy Ghost. I don't understand nothing about how electricity works, but I use it all over my house. I don't quit using it because I don't know how it works. It doesn't matter to me how it works. Let somebody else study how it works. I'll just plug into it. I don't have to understand everything about the Holy Ghost. I just have to know how to plug in. And when I plug in, the power of God begins to flow through my life. Hallelujah. Sometimes I'll do some of my podcasts and different things. And you know, on the podcast, you don't know who's listening to you, when they're listening or where they're listening, because they can download and listen later, listen to you live, whatever. I don't have any idea who's listening to me. But I just get in the middle of something, I'll start speaking in tongues. And sometimes I'll even prophesy. But when I'm speaking in tongues, I take just a second or two and try to tell people what's happened, because I don't know who's listening to me and I don't know what they might think. So I tell them, I said, well, in case you don't know that, I'm a Pentecostal preacher, and that's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that's speaking of the tongues as the Spirit gives me utterance. Amen. So I just try to help them along a little bit. Amen. Just in case they don't know. But friend, I feel compelled today, and I feel an urgency in my spirit today to exhort you and encourage you and compel you to press into God and contend for this wonderful gift and promise of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're living in perilous times. We're living in tumultuous times. The spiritual warfare against the church today, it's off the charts. There's only one thing that can qualify us for this warfare, and that's the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost that comes with fire. Lift your hands, just lift your hands. I feel God is doing something. I feel He's doing something. I want you to lift your hands, because we're cultivating an atmosphere. Come on, if you pray in the Holy Ghost, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost. I feel God is doing something. I feel something is breaking in this house. I feel God is shifting something today. Somebody's listening to this podcast. Somebody's listening to this on podcast right now. I'm broadcasting on podcast as well. And somebody is getting ready to break through. Something's getting ready to happen in your life. You're going to another level. The fire of God is going to come upon your life. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah. If you can sit under my ministry, under my teaching, under my preaching, and not recognize your need and feel your need and have a desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost, then somewhere I, as a pastor, as a preacher, as a teacher, as a minister of this gospel, I have failed and I have missed the mark, and somehow I have failed you, and that concerns me, because the most important thing in your life after salvation is that you be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, the most important thing after you go down in that water of repentance, after the blood has been applied to your life, the most important thing in your life is that you be filled with the Holy Ghost. Have you received since you believed? It's time for you to receive. Have you received the promise? And if you have not, why not? There was no excuse. They said, well, we have not even heard that there be any Holy Ghost. There's such a thing as the Holy Ghost. Well, Paul said, well, I've got just what you need. I've got a 6-month course on the baptism of the Holy Spirit that you can study and you can learn about the Holy Spirit. And when you get through this course, I'll give you a star, and then you come back, and then possibly you'll be ready. He said, we haven't even heard there be such a thing as the Holy Ghost. Well, how were you baptized then? What were you baptized unto? You weren't baptized in the Holy Ghost. How were you baptized? Well, we were baptized into John's baptism. Well, he said, that's good. That's repentance. He said, that's not enough. It's not enough. Unless you go to heaven tomorrow, that's not enough. You need some power to fight the devil. I don't need the Holy Ghost when I get to heaven. Ain't no gonna be no devil in heaven that I gotta fight. Ain't gonna be no sickness I gotta deal with in heaven. Not gonna be oppression when I get in heaven. I need the power of the Holy Ghost to deal with the dirty devil right here, right now, on planet Earth. Hallelujah. So he said, what are you baptized under? John's baptism. And he said, well, John baptized you to get you ready for this next baptism, that is the baptism of the power of the Holy Ghost with fire. Right. Now John said, look, he said, there's one, he said, I'm baptizing you under water, under repentance, but there's one coming after me who is mightier than I. Yes. I'm not the mightiest one. He said, there's one coming after me who is mightier than I. And what he is bringing is greater than what I brought to you. What he is bringing to you is necessary. What he is bringing is mightier than what I brought to you. And you need it. And so it said, then they were baptized in Jesus' name. They were baptized to get them ready now for the Holy Ghost. They were baptized because they believed in Jesus' baptism now. What was Jesus' baptism? The Holy Ghost. The baptism of Jesus is not water. The baptism of John was water. Yeah. Come on. The baptism of Jesus is the Holy Ghost and fire. Yeah. John said, I baptize you indeed with water under repentance, but the one coming after me is mightier than I. When he has come, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Who's the baptizer? The Holy Ghost. Jesus baptizes. Jesus baptizes. John baptized in water. Jesus baptizes in fire.
Yeah.
Somebody say fire.
Fire.
Look at your neighbor, say neighbor.
Neighbor.
You need some fire.
Fire.
Yeah. Watch. Watch this. Every time you walk through these doors, you come under the words Pentecostal Church of God. Might not be on every church, but it is on ours. Right up there in the biggest letters you can find, it says Pentecostal Church of God. You don't have to drive by this church and scratch your head and say, I wonder what kind of church that is. You know. All right. That name was chosen to represent an experience. It was to represent an experience of being baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire and living a Spirit-filled life. I tell you the truth, my friend. It concerns me today that many of our Pentecostal churches have more Baptists than Pentecostals.
Come on.
Oh, I could just leave that right there. I think that'll preach by itself.
I'll say it again. I said, it concerns me today that many of our Pentecostal churches that are named for an experience of being baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire and living a Holy Ghost fire baptized life, many of those Pentecostal churches in name have more Baptists than they have Pentecostals. Nothing against Baptists. God bless the Baptists. I love the Baptists. But we're Pentecostal. And it's unfortunate, and it's sad, and it saddens me, and it concerns me that our churches, our Pentecostal churches, in many cases, have more Baptists than they have Pentecostals. Oh, I didn't quit preaching. I'm meddling now. Pastor, you quit preaching, and now you're meddling. Huh? We walk through a door that says Pentecostal. That means I identify with that.
Yes. Amen.
That means I embrace that.
Amen.
That means I believe what they teach in there. That means I agree with what they're teaching in there. If you don't agree with what's being taught and what's being preached, please leave.
Hallelujah.
Please. Do yourself a favor. Do me a favor. Go where you can believe what's being spoken. But when we walk in here, we're saying, unless you're a first timer and you've never been here before, when you walk in here, you're saying, this is my identification. I identify with this. This is where I belong. This is my family. This is my tribe. This is what I belong to. I'm comfortable here. This is my heritage. This is my bloodline. I belong to the Pentecostal Church of God. I belong to the Pentecostal movement. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost that comes with the fire of the Holy Ghost, and I'm not going to be satisfied with anything less. I'm going to tell you something. If I open up a washing machine and I look inside it and the agitator is broken and I'm trying to buy one down at the store and they open that up and show it to me, I look in there and the agitator's broken and they say, look, they say all of these other machines are just like this one. I say, I don't want any of them. Because it's broke. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. It is not doing what it represents itself to do. It represents itself as Pentecostal, but it has no agitator. I'm going to tell you something. If you come into this church, you've got sin in your life. You've got lust in your life. You've got perversion in your life. You've got corruption in your life. You've got the devil in your life. There ought to be enough power. There ought to be enough fire. There ought to be enough Holy Ghost. There ought to be enough conviction in the house to bring conviction on your life and to drive the devil out.
Amen.
They used to say years ago, they say, get in, get out, or get ran over. Now everybody's like, well, make everybody happy. We want to make it comfortable and accommodating. And our only mission now is just get them in, get them in, get them in, get them in. I'm going to tell you something. You can fill the people. You can fill a church full of sinners. You can fill a church full of sipping saints. You can fill a church full of people that have fornication and lust and all kinds of uncleanness in their life. And because they sit on a pew and because they dress up, you think they're all right. But the Holy Ghost knows who's all right. And the Holy Ghost knows who's not all right. My concern is not just to fill up a church, it's to populate heaven.
Amen.
There I go again. I don't know where all that came from. Okay, Now watch. I'm concerned. I'm genuinely concerned. If you don't speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, then you have not received the biblical baptism of the Holy Ghost. You want to argue with me? Don't argue with me. Argue with the Bible. Everywhere they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You make up your own doctrine if you want to, but I'm going to stay with the Bible. I believe the rest of it. It's got me this far. I'm going to stay with it the rest of the way. Amen. If you don't speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance, you have not received the biblical baptism of the Holy Ghost. And if you don't speak in tongues every day, then you are not filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, oh, well, now right there, Pastor, right there. I want to tell you, I am. I remember when. Oh, okay. If you have to tell me you remember when, I tell you, you're not full. I don't have to remember because it's happening to me every day. I don't have to go back in my mind and remember, okay, now when's the last time? When's the last time I felt the Holy Ghost? When's the last time? Well, before I got over here. When I got over here. Yeah, as I got over here. In the morning, in the night, in the evening. It doesn't matter. Because why? Because I'm full. I'm full. If you're not speaking in tongues every day, you're not full. You'd be real comfortable in the Baptist church. God bless the Baptists. But we're not Baptists. We're not Baptists. I wouldn't fit in there very good. Because somebody would say something and it would stir my Holy Ghost in me and I would speak in tongues. Somebody would say something and I would say, oh, talk about how he would, it just jump right out of me and they would go, what was that? Now, I didn't say you weren't ever filled. I never said you weren't baptized. I never said your experience wasn't real. What I said, you're not presently filled if you're not speaking in tongues every day. Paul said, be being filled. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. There is a lifestyle of being full. The baptism, everybody say the baptism. Say the Holy Ghost baptism. Okay, it is a flowing baptism. It's not a stagnant pond. It has to flow like a river or you become stagnant. It's time we quit pretending or lying to ourselves and trying to convince ourselves that we've got it all. You need the Holy Ghost. I want to be painfully honest today. If you're not walking in a fresh baptism of Holy Ghost fire, I'm concerned for you. Why? Because I know that the intensity of the warfare that's coming of the church and coming against the church, it is off the charts. We have never experienced anything like this before. And I know the only defense we have against hell is the best offense. And that offense is the Spirit of God. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. It's not by might, and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Come on, lift your hands and bless him in this house. Bless him in this house. God, I thank you for the Holy Ghost. I thank you for the fire of the Holy Ghost. I'm not ashamed of the Holy Ghost. I'm not ashamed. Everybody's coming out of the closet today. Everybody's coming out of the closet except the Pentecostals. Everybody's coming out of the closet. They're not ashamed of nothing. They're not ashamed of nothing. They're not ashamed. Some say, I'm not a boy anymore, I'm a girl. Some say, I'm not a girl anymore, I'm a boy. Some say, don't call me either. I'm neither. I'm neither. Well, what are you? I don't know. They've got so many different ideas and theologies and different identities. And you know, God only made two. He made them male and female. And he stopped creating and rested. And he ain't created any different from them. It's still male and female. And anything less, anything different is not what God ordered or created. Hallelujah. See, I've gone to meddling again already. How does this happen to me? Friends, I wouldn't go to a church that didn't believe in the power of the Holy Ghost and didn't encourage me to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You may come to us as good Baptists, baptized in water of repentance, but if you stay very long, you're going to get a baptism of fire. Somebody said, Pastor, I don't like it when you talk about being baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Well, my friend, I can tell you why. It's because you're cold in your soul, and it's because you've been living too far away from the fire. Because if you've been living close to the fire and somebody talks about the fire, there'll be a kindred spirit. Somebody begins to testify. Fire of God, it will bear witness with your spirit. It will set something off inside of you. Somebody shouts, it makes you want to shout. Somebody dances, it makes you want to dance. Somebody runs, it makes you want to run, because the fire is alive. Somebody said, I don't like that kind of preacher. Well, there's a lot of churches where they don't preach like this. So you can go there.
That's right, most of them.
But if you want the truth.
Amen.
Yes, the truth.
The apostle said, we preach the gospel with the Holy Ghost, which is sent down from heaven.
Oh, yes.
See, Pentecost was born in the fire. And if you're a child of Pentecost, you're going to have some fire. It's time for the church to catch on fire. It's time for a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Friend, listen. The devil doesn't care about our programs. He doesn't care if we have carpet on the floor or sawdust. He doesn't care if we have stained glass windows or no windows. He doesn't care if we have perfect pitch or no pitch. But what worries the devil and concerns the devil is a church that is full of the Holy Ghost and fire. What concerns the devil and sends shockwaves through hell is a church full of people that are full of the Holy Ghost and the fire of the Holy Ghost. Why is that such a concern for hell? Because the anointing destroys the yoke. The anointing is the only power that can deliver the homosexual. The anointing is the only power that can drive cancer out of a body, that can open blind eyes, unstop deaf ears, deliver the drug addict, the alcoholic, the porn addict, the lesbian. The power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing, is the only power that can destroy the yoke. It's not by our might or power, it's by His Spirit. And His Spirit will still set the captives free. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all the world pressed in the dust. For God was with him. How did he do it? By the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He has anointed me. The anointing destroys the yoke. That's what the devil's afraid of. I'm going to tell you something. The devil does not care how intellectual we are. The devil doesn't care how much knowledge of Scripture we get, if that's all we got. The devil don't care how great we are at communicating our message. The thing the devil worries about is the anointing there. Because if the anointing is there, his kingdom is threatened. If the anointing is there, healing is available. If the anointing is there, deliverance is available. If the anointing is there, the kingdom of God is there.
Amen.
Come on, lift your hands again. I feel God doing something. Come on, lift your hands. Plug into that anointing right now. Come on, I feel God doing something. I feel something shifting right now. I'm Pentecostal from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I'm fire baptized. I believe in speaking in tongues. The Spirit gives me utterance. I believe in healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, casting out devils. I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe in the anointing that destroys the yoke. I believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe there's power in the blood to wash the sinner clean. I believe. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the message of the cross. And I'm not ashamed of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and power with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. It's happening. Come on. Just keep on. Stay on. We're in the vein right now. Come on. In the name of Jesus, every unclean spirit, in the name of Jesus, everything that is out of order, everything that is contrary to your word and to your will, God, Lord, we come against it in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that there is deliverance, that there is healing, that there are miracles in the name and in the power of the Holy Spirit.
I'm almost done. I want you to stand, please, all over the building. I want you to stand. The devil does not care if we have the words on the wall that say we're Pentecostal. The devil does not care that we sit on a pew in a Pentecostal church. As long as there is no Pentecostal fire, we are no threat to hell.
I don't know about you. I don't want to be just another church on the landscape of churches in America or in California. I don't want to be a church that just blends in to the geography. I want to be a church that's known in heaven and known in hell.
Amen.
I want to be a church that stirs the atmosphere that I am in. I want to be a church that opens the heavens over us and around us. I want to be a church that makes a change in the spiritual climate and the spiritual environment everywhere I go, everywhere we are. And this is not the church. We're the church. This is a building that we gather in. But we are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not this building that gets filled with fire. It's you. It's not this building that gets on fire from God, that gets baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's you. I want everybody in this house, if you recognize, you realize that you need the baptism of fire. I don't care if you've been baptized. I don't care if you spoke in tongues a year ago or even 2 days ago. I want you up here. You say, I need the Holy Ghost fire. I need fresh fire in my life. I need a fresh baptism. I've got to deal with this devil. I've got to deal with this depression. I got to deal with this bondage. I got to deal with this lust. I got to deal with this confusion. I got to deal with this. I need the power of the Holy Ghost. I can't do it myself. It's not my own ability. It's not my own wisdom. I don't have the strength. I need power from on high. I need power from on high. It's every child of God needs it. Have you received it? Have you received it? Have you received it? It's for every child of God. Every blood-washed child of God. Have you received this baptism since you believe? And why not? Why haven't we received this baptism? Why are we satisfied without this baptism? How can I be satisfied with John's baptism when Jesus is waiting to baptize me with the Holy Ghost with fire? Come on, plug into the power right now. Say, God, I need the fire. I need the fire of the Holy Ghost. I need the power of the Holy Ghost. I need the yoke-destroying, burden-removing power of the Holy Ghost operating in my life. I need your in a month. Some of you ain't spoken tongues in 6 months. Some of you ain't had a good breakthrough in a year. You need to pray until you're praying in the Holy Ghost.